Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Catherine Chapman. I'm from Rutgers University in New Jersey. And today, as Michelle said, I will be discussing the effects of elevated atmospheric carbon dioxide on drought tolerance and post-drought recovery of Kentucky bluegrass. So we all know that drought stress can be very detrimental to cool season turfgrass species in terms of the fact that it limits their growth and development. But more importantly is how drought stress affects very important growing organs. For Kentucky bluegrass, that would be the meristematic regions within the rhizomes. And unfortunately, drought stress can cause dormancy or mortality of these rhizomes. And we all know that the rhizomes are what forms the daughter plants, and the daughter plants is what continuously propagate and make Kentucky bluegrass so vigorous and so dense. So unfortunately, drought stress would inhibit the growth of new or established daughter plants, and that can be very extreme. So just a little bit of a background on rhizomes, just because I wanted to cover that in case some of us are unfamiliar. So rhizomes, you have a mother plant, and that would basically shoot off laterally the rhizomes. And so rhizomes are underground growing stems, and they basically just allow the plant to continuously propagate. They grow underground, and then eventually they will shoot back up, resurface, and that is what is known as the daughter plant. So just to differentiate the two, you have the mother plant, and the daughter plant is what is formed from rhizomes. And so rhizomes are really important because they're basically just big carbohydrate storage sinks. And so in times of stress, rhizomes can actually store a great amount of carbohydrates. And this is important because the rhizomes can then remobilize them to auxiliary buds when the stress is relieved, so in the case of drought stress, when the plants would be rewatered. So basically, they can remobilize the carbohydrates from the rhizomes, and this can form new roots and shoots when the stress is relieved to form new daughter plants. So this allows us to want to learn more information about rhizomes and how they respond to drought stress, as well as if there are any interactive effects with elevated levels of CO2, and that can be critical for ensuring turfgrass persistence as well as post-drought recovery. And I just want to give a little bit of a background on elevated CO2. So in recent decades, we know that drought stress has been much more severe and much more common of an occurrence. And with that, studies are finding that the level of atmospheric carbon dioxide is actually increasing as well every day. And they actually estimate that within this next century, it's going to rise to about 800 parts per million. Currently, the atmospheric level of carbon dioxide is 400, so it's expected to double. And so that brings us the question of, okay, well, now that we know that CO2 is increasing, how is that going to affect plant life? And studies have found that it's actually been pretty positive, that elevated levels of carbon dioxide actually, under non-stress conditions, they can promote more plant growth and productivity. So now that we know that you can have better plant health status under elevated CO2, now we're going to bring in the abiotic stress factors such as drought, heat, and salinity. And we want to know how is that affected. And it's actually, again, been pretty positive that their elevated CO2 has actually been shown to mitigate the adverse effects of those abiotic stresses. So that brings us to our research question. Knowing that elevated CO2 is inevitable and knowing that it can have positive benefits under stressful conditions, we want to know specifically, how does elevated CO2 affect drought tolerance of perennial grasses, such as Kentucky bluegrass, and how does it affect the rhizomes during post-drought recovery? And that's the main part, because the rhizomes, again, are the critical growing points for Kentucky bluegrass. So we want to know specifically how, if there are any interactive effects between drought stress and elevated levels of CO2, and how it can promote potential post-drought recovery. And that leads me to our objective, which was to determine whether elevated CO2 concentration would alleviate drought-induced damages in Kentucky bluegrass rhizomes, thus promoting enhanced drought tolerance and potentially more growth of daughter plants upon rewatering. So I just wanted to go over some materials and methods. So we used rhizomatous Kentucky bluegrass that we took plugs from mature turfgrass field at Rutgers, and we transplanted them into pretty clay medium in plastic bins in a growth chamber, in a greenhouse, and we let that acclimate in the greenhouse for 4 weeks. And then we transferred that to controlled climate growth chambers for 3 days prior to the initiation of the CO2 treatment. So I just wanted to go over exactly how we controlled the elevated level of CO2. So we used 4 reach in growth chambers, 2 of which we had the elevated CO2 and 2 of which were treated with just regular growth chamber conditions at 400 ppm. So we used a 100% CO2 source tank, and basically what we did was we injected the elevated level of CO2 through valves into the environment of the growth chamber to create that elevated CO2 atmosphere. And basically it was hooked up to a computer that logged the level of CO2 every 10 seconds, so we were able to monitor that daily. And so the two CO2 treatments that we used, just to reiterate, was ambient, which was at 400 parts per million, and elevated, which was at 800 parts per million. And so we initiated this 4 weeks prior to the drought stress, so it allowed it to acclimate to those different CO2 conditions for 4 weeks. So the treatments and design, so we initiated the drought treatment for 28 days. So we had the well-irrigated treated plants, which were just irrigated every other day to field soil capacity, and then we had the drought-treated plants, which were completely withholding of water for 28 straight days. And then at the end of the 28 days, all plants were irrigated to field capacity to observe the post-drought recovery. So we just wanted to add here that at the end of 28 days, we actually harvested, destructively sampled one of the subsamples, and that was for later analyses. And then the other subsample, we actually basically cut to the soil line, rewatered, and then that allowed us to observe the regrowth for the post-drought recovery period, which again was 20 days. So we took a number of different measurements throughout the drought stress period for 28 days that included visual turf quality, leaf relative water content, and electrolyte leakage. And then at the end of 28 days of drought, we sampled for meristematic tissue viability, so that's within the nodes of the rhizome, and then also the rhizome count. And during the recovery period, we measured rhizome count as well, and then that also allowed us to measure the biomass of mother and daughter plant tissue. And then, as we were talking about before, with SigmaScan, we also measured dark green color index as well as canopy density, which was shown by percent coverage. So we just wanted to add here that under the well-irrigated conditions, as you might expect, there were really no differences regardless of CO2 treatment in terms of most of these parameters. So I'm really just going to be discussing the effects of drought under the different CO2 treatments. So we were not surprised to see that elevated CO2 increased leaf relative water content as well as turf quality during the 28 days of drought, and it reduced the electrolyte leakage. So now we've confirmed that elevated CO2 does have a beneficial effect, that it has a greater plant health status throughout 28 days of drought. And so now we were most interested, though, in the rhizomes. So we wanted to know, what do the rhizomes look like at the end of 28 days? And so we were very happy to find that elevated CO2 actually increased the rhizome node viability after 28 days. So it's really important, because not only are we having great visual turf quality and great above-ground plant health status, we're also having great below-ground plant health status by having greater survivability of these rhizomes. But then we were also interested in the number. So again, the more rhizomes you have, the more plant growth you're going to have. So we counted the number of rhizomes, and it was significantly greater under elevated CO2 conditions in comparison to the ambient CO2 conditions. And that's really important. So not only do you have greater viability of the rhizomes, but they're also a greater number. So we were also interested, again, in the recovery. That was the main point, to look at the post-drought recovery and see if there was a similar trend. And there was. So again, the rhizome count for the regrowth period, so again, these are the rehydrated plants, so you're comparing the elevated CO2 to the ambient CO2 for the rehydrated plants. So elevated CO2 significantly increased the rhizome number after the 20 days of post-drought recovery. And so if you have a greater number of rhizomes, it would make sense then that you're going to have a greater daughter plant biomass. Again, daughter plants are what forms from the rhizomes. So we found that elevated CO2 did increase the amount of daughter plant biomass. And so that's really good, because that means that there was greater survivability of the rhizomes and they were able to produce a greater amount of tissue. And that also led to having a greater amount of total shoot biomass. So total shoot biomass would be the mother plant tissue plus the daughter plant tissue. So after 20 days of recovery, elevated CO2 had a greater number of total shoot biomass as well. And so again, we looked at a number of different parameters using the SigmaScan technology. And so this is what it looks like after only 4 days of recovery. So this is again after we cut it down to the soil line and allowed it to regrow. And so Upon rewatering, the dark green color increased for both CO2 treatments. However, I really just want to point your attention to the canopy density. You can see clearly, let's get this mouse, you can see just how much more of a canopy density there is for the elevated CO2 in comparison to the ambient CO2. So it's really significant that that's after only 4 days of recovery that elevated CO2 would have such a significant effect like that. And I also wanted to highlight after 7 days of regrowth. So this is from just after 1 week of rewatering. And again, not only was there greater canopy density, which you can see again, you can just see just how much more canopy density. And again, that's the most important part. We want, after a plant has been drought stressed, we want it to be able to grow back at a rapid pace. And also, we also had a darker green color index from day 7 on to the rest of the recovery period. And that's also important because that allows us, darker green color is typically more desirable, it has better aesthetic qualities. So if you're able to have that, it's pretty beneficial for not only the aesthetics but also for the amount of coverage that you would have. And so that just brings me to some of my main conclusions, just to wrap it all up. Elevated CO2 increased the drought tolerance potential of Kentucky bluegrass, and this was shown by its effect on the leaf membrane stability. So that was shown by the decreased electrolyte leakage, and also the leaf water relations. So that was shown by the higher relative water content and the overall greater turf quality. But most importantly, it was shown by the overall greater survivability of the rhizomes. So by the end of the 28 days of drought, you saw a greater number of rhizomes and you saw greater rhizome survivability. So also I want to point out that elevated CO2 did enhance post-drought recovery, and this was shown by the increase in daughter plant production as well as the rhizome number and canopy density, which was clearly evident that elevated CO2 had a major impact by affecting all of those parameters. So ultimately, just the take-home message here would be that Kentucky bluegrass plants were able to regrow from drought stress upon water availability, suggesting that elevated CO2 had protective effects on rhizomes to facilitate drought survival. And again, that's really important because we know that the rhizomes are major carbohydrate storage units, and so it's important that at the end of drought stress, they would be able to recover. And so elevated CO2 does just that. It allows it to recover in a better manner than the ambient level of CO2. And I would just like to acknowledge my advisor, Dr. Bingrid Wong, as well as my collaborator on this work, Dr. Patrick Burgess. With that, I would like to take any questions. Thank you.
So why did you use cultivar-bearing, not knowing the very drought tolerance?
So the question was, why did we choose the cultivar-bearing? So first of all, that's what we had on our farm, but a better answer would be it is not very drought tolerant. So it was interesting that the CO2 effects would probably be, the interactive effects of CO2 and drought would be more evident than if we'd use a drought tolerant cultivar. the elevated CO2 would have a greater effect, but I thought that this would be a cultivar that would be better to use, just because I think the differences in CO2 effect would be a little bit more evident as opposed to just using a drought tolerant cultivar that would already have a greater number of rhizomes under the ambient CO2 conditions in comparison to the elevated CO2 conditions. Any other questions? Dr. Clark?
You expect with higher CO2 from the higher temperatures, so the relationship would be the combination of higher temperatures?
Yes, so the question was, what would the interactive effects of elevated CO2 and temperature? And that's a very good question. So this was a growth chamber study, so we were able to control the temperature. If we were to have brought this out in the field, there definitely would be some interactive effects. My assumption would be that temperature would cause more senescence, and so you wouldn't see the darker green color. I think that it would, especially if you're having the drought and the heat all combined in one, hopefully the elevated CO2 would kind of mitigate those effects, as it was shown in other studies, including heat, that it did mitigate those adverse effects. So I would hope that we would have the same results, but that would definitely be an interesting way going forward to work on the heat tolerance. Mm-hmm.
Catherine, I just have one question.
Sure.
Did the plants, I didn't notice this, but at the end of the drought treatment, you said you went for 28 days, but then you recovered them. Were they at the same level of stress during recovery at the end? So that when you assessed recovery, you were starting from the same baseline? or were they healthier at the end, like the 800 ppm plots or mm-hmm. grasses? So you would expect if you recovered healthier grasses to begin with, they would recover faster, but did you guys standardize that endpoint to then recover them all from the same level?
So the question was, did we standardize the endpoint at the end of 28 days of drought? So at the end of 28 days of drought, are you talking about like the visual, like if I were to go back to one of the figures, you can see that, let's see, so this is at the end of drought. They were pretty, at the end of 28 days of drought, that's a pretty long time without much water. So the effects of the CO2 would have been during the earlier stages of the drought stress period. So at the end, they were all pretty standardized. And again, we cut them all down to the same level, the same height at the soil line. So that's why the regrowth was due to the actual regrowth due to CO2 treatments. So I think that, so we did kind of have a uniform at the end of the 28 days of drought.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.